attention to the book of Exodus today. The book of Exodus, the chapter 15. In this chapter, the people of Israel had been safely brought out of Egypt by God under the leadership of Moses, and they had also been brought through the Red Sea, and God had dealt with Pharaoh and his armies, destroying them at the Red Sea. And I want to read in Exodus 15 from the verse 11, just breaking into the midst of the song which Moses and the people of Israel sang unto the Lord. Verse 11 of Exodus chapter 15, and if you have a copy of the scriptures before you, do please follow along even the reading of God's word. Exodus 15 and the verse 11. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold of them, the inhabitants of Palestine. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as still as a stone, till thy people pass over, O Lord. Till the people pass over which thou hast purchased, thou shalt bring them in, and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh and him, with his chariots, and with his horsemen, into the sea. And the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land, in the midst of the sea. Verse 20 says, And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand. All the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. You know, I'm reading there. At verse 21, again, knowing that God does bless the public reading of his word, even to our hearts. So again, at this point, we want us to seek the Lord in prayer and ask that the Lord's word may be a blessing and therefore a benefit to our souls today. Heavenly Father, we bow before thee in prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus. We acknowledge that thou art the Almighty God, the one true and living God, that we can approach thee as our Heavenly Father, in and through thy Son, the only mediator between God and man, and also with the help of that Holy Spirit who dwells within each child of God, each saved sinner. Lord, we come to ask for thy blessing upon thy word. Begin now to show all the circumstances of our lives at this particular time, as individuals, as a congregation, as a nation, indeed throughout the world. We're praying for thy mercy and thy grace even in the preserving of lives, in the healing of bodies, and even your hand upon the medical profession and all who work to care for others. And Lord, we pray above all that thou will come and send us even a time of spiritual awakening, send a time of revival to thy church. Lord, come and add to thy church the enemy such as should be seen. Come and draw us closer to thyself as your people. But we know what it is to humble ourselves and pray and seek thy face and turn from our wicked ways, that thou mightest come and forgive our sin and hear that. So Lord, hear our prayers and give help now as your word is revealed. And we pray that you give help Each of us will be also doers of thy word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Many are the individuals of whom we read in the Word of God. And as we read the details recorded of their lives, there are lessons for us to learn from them. When the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, in his first letter to them, chapter 10, and verse 6, having outlined some of the happenings of the people of Israel as they journeyed through the wilderness, he wrote this: "Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted." In other words, what was recorded in the Old Testament concerning their fathers and their sins and the consequences was to be a warning to keep others from sin. In the same 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, as Paul continued giving exhortation to the people in Corinth to keep from sin, in verse 11 he wrote, "Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come." In other words, what we read about the people of Israel collectively and about individuals among them, these things have been written and recorded in God's word for our learning, to keep us from sin, and also that we might follow the good example of those who were the Lord's people. We're to learn from the failings of others. We're to learn from the things in their lives which are honoring to God. Paul, writing to the church of Philippi in Philippians 4:9, could write, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Paul wasn't boasting about himself, he was but a saved sinner. He said in another place, "It was by the grace of God that he was what he was," but as he was enabled of God to live before them and set that good example of a believer and to teach them, as they heard and received and saw his example, they were to do. When Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, his first letter to them, chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, he wrote that when they had been converted, they became followers of him and his fellow missionaries. Not in the sense of just following men, but following their example as mature believers. And they in turn, Paul said, were examples to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. Today I want us to look at what the word of God says therefore about an individual. The woman called Miriam, and she has been mentioned in Exodus 15, the verses 20 and 21. We can learn from her as an individual. We can learn from what we have recorded about her in the word of God. In Deuteronomy 24:9, Moses, Miriam's brother, was moved by God to say this to the people of Israel: "Remember what the Lord thy God did unto Miriam by the way, after that ye were come forth out of Egypt." It was God's purpose that the people of Israel remember God's dealings with Miriam. In one of the minor prophets, Micah chapter 6, verse 4, the prophet Micah was moved by God to declare in the Lord's name this: "For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed thee out of the house of servants, and I," this is the Lord speaking, "I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam." The Lord, therefore, would have us to learn from Miriam. And I want to think about Miriam in three ways today. First of all, I want to think about Miriam as a sister. A sister. When we read of Miriam for the very first time in Exodus 2 and verse 4, she is not actually named at that particular point in the scripture record, but she is referred to as the sister of Moses, who indeed at that point was not named either. The second chapter of Exodus records how during that time in Egypt, when Pharaoh had charged his people to drown in the river any son born to the Hebrews, there was a man of Levi who took to himself a wife, and a son was born to them, whom
his mother hid for 3 months in their home to protect his life. And then when it was no longer possible to hide him in the home, she made an ark of foolishness, daubed it with slime and pitch, put the child in it, placed it by the edge of the river, and this, of course, was Moses, whom God would later call to lead his people out of Egypt. And we learn that his sister, who was Miriam, stood afar off to watch what would happen. As she watched, she witnessed the daughter of Pharaoh coming down to the river with her babes, and discovering the ark and finding the babe, rightly concluding that this was one of the Hebrew children. And in God's great purpose and providence, he moved Pharaoh's daughter to have compassion on the babe. And really how his sister, that is Moses' sister Miriam, she approached Pharaoh's daughter and she asked if she could go and call a nurse from among the Hebrew women to nurse the child. Pharaoh's daughter agreed to the suggestion, and Miriam went and called her own mother, the mother of the babe. And Pharaoh's daughter instructed her to nurse the child and promised her obedience. And Miriam is simply referred to here as the sister of Moses. But you know, in the very details of Exodus 2, we are shown that she had an important role to play as a human instrument in the preservation of life of Moses at that young age. And ultimately, it was God that worked preserving the life of Moses, but Miriam was one of the instruments in her watching over the ark and then going and speaking to the daughter of Pharaoh. But many years later, in the chapter we read in Exodus 15, Israel had been brought safely across the Red Sea, and Pharaoh and his armies had been drowned. And Miriam is mentioned, and this time she is described in Exodus 15 and 20 as the prophetess, but even as the sister, this time the sister of Aaron. She was not only the sister of Moses, she was also the sister of Aaron. Now we know that Moses and Aaron were greatly used by God. Moses was a great prophet, and Aaron as the high priest. But the point is, their sister Miriam was also used by God. In Numbers 26 and verse 59, you will read about this whole family being named. You will read that the name of Amram's wife was Jochebed, the daughter of Levi, who her mother bare to Levi in Egypt. And she bare unto Amram, Aaron, and Moses, and Miriam, their sister. Their sister was used in the service of the Lord also. Now, considering Miriam as a sister to Moses and Aaron, reminds me of the family. She was placed in by God, a family blessed and used by God, and whatever family we have been born into, and whoever God blesses us and uses us in his vine, of course, to be, above all, in the family of God. The Lord Jesus, on one occasion during his earthly ministry, in Matthew 12 and verse 50, having been told as he preached to the people that his earthly mother and brethren were outside desiring to speak with him, he said this, "Who is my mother and who are my brethren?" He then answered by pointing to his disciples, his followers, and saying, "Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." Now the Lord wasn't despising the fact that he had an earthly mother, an earthly half-brethren, but he was saying to him, his spiritual family is more important. And of course, we can only be in the Lord's family by taking our place as sinners, asking God for forgiveness, by faith receiving Christ as Savior. The Lord Jesus said, "It's not near those who do the will of his Father which is in heaven." It is the Father's will that we turn from our sin and believe in Christ for salvation. In Romans 16, verse 1, Paul wrote of a woman called Phoebe, who he described as our sister, as well as a servant of the church, and he was talking about her being a sister in the family of God. It is the Song of Solomon 5 and 2, the bridegroom calls his bride, "My sister, my love." The question therefore is, and of course, that the bridegroom pictures Christ there, and the bride, the church, see of sinners. The question is, are you
a sister or a brother in the family of God, are you saved? My God, Jesus, because this is the most important family to be in. So we see Miriam in the first place there as a sister. But in the second place, we see Miriam as a singer. We read from Exodus 15. And in the verses 20 and 21, Miriam features again in the record of the Word of God. God had by this time brought the people of Israel out of Egypt. He brought them through the Red Sea. He destroyed Pharaoh and his armies who had followed them. Moses and the children of Israel had praised God by singing of what the Lord had done for them. They had sang about his glorious person. That was a great song, Exodus 15. I would encourage you to study its content. And we learn in verse 20 that Miriam, she took the timbrel in her hand. All the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Sing ye to the Lord." Miriam was encouraging them to sing. And of course, she was singing herself. Singing praise is an important part of our worship of the Lord. And this gathering together in the public place of worship to even sing praise. We can sing the Lord's praise in our own homes at this end. But we can think of Miriam singing, and indeed all of Israel singing this song of Moses. We are reminded that in Revelation 15 and 3, in heaven, we read that God's people sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus, praising God for his works, his ways, and his person. But of course, while we're here upon earth, we're to sing to the Lord. If we're saved, if we were easy to sing, the Lord has put a new song in our lives. Indeed, we are exhorted in Ephesians 5 and verse 19 to be speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Speaking to yourselves by means of singing, but singing to the Lord. Colossians 3 and the verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Again, the emphasis, singing to the Lord. When we turn to the letter of James, James chapter 5 and the verse 13, there is an exhortation given there. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. You know, Christ himself sings praise according to Hebrews chapter 2 and the verse 12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And when the Lord Jesus was here upon earth, we learn in Matthew 26, and verse 30, on that night in which he was going to be betrayed, when they, the Lord and his disciples, had sung a hymn or a psalm, they went out into the Mount of Olives. I wonder today, can you sing unto the Lord of a personal experience of his salvation and a personal relationship with him? If you can't, today you can call on the Lord for salvation, and then you will have a song to sing. But as we finish this brief study on the life of Miriam, if you thought about Miriam as a sister in the family, and of course she was in the family of God, we thought about her as a singer, she was able to praise God, we can think there of her faith. But I want to think in the final days about Miriam as a sinner, as we think of her feelings. You know, Miriam, just like every one of us, was born into this world as a sinner. And even though she had come to a place of faith in the true God for salvation, she didn't become sinless.
In Numbers 12, if you can take the time to read that chapter for yourself, there is the record of Miriam, along with her brother Aaron, sinning against Moses, her brother, speaking against him, showing jealousy toward Moses and how God spoke with him, and using the fact that Moses had married an Ethiopian woman to speak against him. And in that chapter, the Lord came out, and he rebuked Miriam and Aaron, and he asked why they were not afraid to speak against Moses. We read that the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and Miriam was sent with leprosy, and she was shut out of the camp for 7 days. And you can read the details in Numbers chapter 10. But we are reminded in that there are consequences for sin. For the saved sinner, the forgiven sinner, there's chastening in this life for sin. But most solemnly, for the unsaved and unforgiven sinner who never trusts the Lord for salvation, there is a lost eternity, there is a place called hell, to be shut out from God and his mercy forever. A terrible thought. You know, in Numbers 20, in the verse 1, we read that when the children of Israel came to the desert of Sin in the first month, that Miriam died there and was buried there. This is the appointment for all mankind. For it is appointed unto men also to die, and after this the judgment. But it is our spiritual state when death comes that determines whether eternity will be a blessing or will be a terrible curse. Because if, like Miriam, we have turned from sin and trust of Christ for salvation, well, death led our souls to hell. But if you reject Christ and his salvation of death, the soul will go to that terrible place called hell. There are many lessons to learn from the life of Miriam. I trust that if you're not saved, you will learn the lesson that you're a sinner in the need of salvation. And you can't be in the family of God now here in life and for all eternity. And you have such an experience, you'll send praise to God here on earth and forever in glory. And for each of us who are saved, that we might rejoice in the Lord's salvation, and we might be kept from sin in life and walk close with the Lord. So may the Lord even hide his word